saving money on all your electrical needs at Menards. From wire, tools, testers, and more, Southwire is the perfect choice for your next electrical project. They offer innovative products to help you get your project done right. Hurry in today and save big on all Southwire products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to the Kosafa Show with Mark Gleason and Nick Say.
Welcome to this special edition of the Kosafa Show, where we talk all things women's football in Southern Africa. We have a special panel of guests with us, and we'll discuss a range of topics, not least the fact that we have the Total Energies CAF Women's Champions League Kosafa qualifier on the go in Durban. We're delighted to be joined by Mamelodi Sundowns Ladies Media Officer Angela Kubeka, Kosafa Media Officer Gwen Chubasula from Zambia, and a current member of our Kosafa TV team, Pearl Caroling, who has joined us in Durban from Botswana. Ladies, thank you so much for taking the time to chat to us. Maybe we can just start by asking each of you to share your journey in football to date, how you got started, and where you are today.
Everyone. I'm Pearl Caroling, but you can just simply call me Miss G. In the world of football, of sport, I started as a player at high school. And then by then, I started playing in as an infield player. And then there was a time that one of the goalkeepers was not there. So we just had to close the gap for her. So I said, no, let me just be the goalkeeper. And then in that particular game, I did well. And then after that, the coach said, I think you must be the goalkeeper now because you did so well without any training and everything. So that is that. And then from my high school, I joined a double action football club. And then from there, I left double action because it was far from my home. And then I joined Township Rollers, which was really new in the league, and then they were just starting women's football. And then I retired at an early age. I was roped in as a head member. And then a month on the line, I was the secretary. And then there were elections, so I didn't stand for any because I wasn't really interested in being an administrator. Then I was appointed as the team manager. And then I had to leave that because I've seen that women's football is there, but there was no progress. There was nothing. No one was even talking about women's football. And then I joined 442, which was a football magazine in Botswana. That is when I started to write a lot about women's football. But other than that, no one was just taking women's football serious. And then one day I just had an interview and then I told them, look, women's football, one day everyone is going to talk about it. And then in 2015, I joined GEBS FM. I was the sport producer there. And then I had a feature where I was talking about nothing but women's football until now. And then in 2018, I traveled with the team to... That was the Zebras. I traveled with them to Kosafa, which was held in Polokwane. And then that was the time I had a chat with Kosafa media manager. And then in September, I was invited to do social media for Kosafa. And then it was interesting. I arrived there. And then 2 days before the tournament, Linda said, look, we have another tournament in Botswana. It should be in December. That was season 5. So you're going to be doing social media. And then on the other hand, we'll be training as the media officer. That is when I met Gwen. She was the media officer. Then I trained. But it looks like we were new, but we did a whole lot together. Till now, I've been the media officer for Kosafa and also back home. I'm a content aggregator and then a sport journalist. So that is there for me when it comes to football and sport.
Thanks, Pearl. And over to you, Gwen.
Thank you.
Your
Nick.
Story?
I have a very short story for myself. So anyway, I've been in sports reporting since 2014. And I started with our national broadcaster back in Zambia, ZMBC, where I was I was doing some internship for just 4 months. From there, I joined Times of Zambia after I finished college. That was like 2015. I joined Times of Zambia and I worked as a sports reporter there. So I covered a lot of women football. That's where I actually fell in love with women football. From there, I spent 2 years at Times of Zambia as a sports reporter. Then I got, I found a new job with a Super League team in Zambia. It's called NAPSA Stars, although it only has a men's team at the moment. There's a point when we had a females team, but it got disbanded and we only have a men's team at the moment. Yeah. So as of now, I just still write here and there for Times of Zambia, but I'm fully with NAPSA Stars and now part of COSAFA Media. I've been since 2018 when I got my first call up. And yeah, that's about it for me.
Thanks, Gwen. Angela, your journey in football
to this
point.
My journey is very interesting and quite long, but I'll best summarize it. Well, I was always interested in sports, especially where it has to do everything with women. So then after World Cup in 2010, that's when women's football became more interesting and more in our faces. So I was able to get myself involved at a branch level where supporters meet at their clubhouse. And I was always intrigued as to how come these people are always so happy and jubilant and so happy to be together. So and then I joined the branch. So then from then onwards, there were some, you know, ad hoc duties that no one wanted to do, like calling supporters and reminding them about the game and also sending reminders to tell them about the next game and hyping games up. So then there was a time where they were looking for a provincial secretary. That's how I was given the opportunity to be at a higher level of supporters to learn more about what they do, how they do things. Then I think after a year or so, then at Sundowns, President Motsepe said that there is a need for us to be structured. So there would be youth, women, and supporters so that each category is properly tailored, made to, and given all the things that they need, depending on the needs of that department. So I got the position of the woman coordinator. Funny, I did not apply because I didn't feel that, you know, I'd be good enough for that position because there were a lot of women that were there before me and I learned a lot from them. So I saw them filling up this position. So, and then I took a chance. Then they said I should come to Tloloko full time. That's when I had to resign from APSA. So that's when my journey began in 2010 specifically. And then when I got to Sundowns, everything that had to do with women, including Miss Sundowns, the pageantry, the ladies team, and also the supporters. Somebody had to make noise. Somebody had to create awareness of the talent that's available at the club. So that's when then I opened the social media account with no instruction per se. So it was just me trying to collaborate history that if we don't capture it at the moment, come next year or year or so later, we wouldn't have that information. So then here we are now. I'm the ladies team social media account officer, manager. And then also I do their media stuff. I set interviews for the women and I also encourage them, you know, market them, help them to understand their roles as well, that they are more than just soccer players. And on the Sundown side, I'm still the project manager of which, though it's pageantry, but at the end of the day, we want all women, so to speak, or whether they're interested.
I'm just going to carry on with you, Angela, if you don't mind. So You know, you said your journey started in 2010, and I'm sure there you would have seen a lot of change if we talk specifically about South African women's football. Now we have the Hollywood Bet Super League and whatnot. From your perspective, are we moving in the right direction, both from South Africa, but also Southern Africa, and what you've seen of the CASAFA tournaments, as well as looking at the CAF Women's Champions League as well?
We are at the best time of our lives because those that played football in the yesteryears and those that laid the foundation, they had this vision in mind, though the time, the place didn't allow them to excel. So we are able to tread on those footsteps that they've started, and also with the knowledge that they also, you know, are willing to give to us, the experiences and their stories, we can only do better, you know. So with the sponsors, well, Sasol must just get kudos, big kudos, because they laid the foundation. You know, from a township, if you are a girl and you just know how to knock the ball around, you get a team of which probably they wouldn't have enough resources just to get by. Then Sasol was there to just make everything make sense. You know, it gave us hope that one day we will be fine. We will be fine. Now with Hollywood Bet taking everything to the next level, it's amazing. Then one asks, what's next? If you could get here, what's next? You know, it's motivating. And us winning the CAF Club Women's Cup, it's motivating as well. Then what we are looking for is the World Cup. So every step goes a long way, you know. Every stride that is taken, it's doing a whole lot good to the game. Like now we are in Durban and the ladies are participating in a tournament. Well, you know, best prepared tournament, world class. And everything that we learned from last time, you know, things has become more easier. They are more flowy because we've been here last year. And with the personnel from COSAFA, magnificent. You know, like some of the things that I learn every day, it's amazing. You know, they make it so seamless. But then every day when you try to emulate what they do, then you start to appreciate the hard work that they do. But it's only in knowing and understanding the toil that goes into the work, you see. So from here, we ask, what's next? Because we are not here before. We've never been here before and we see progress. So I would say, yes, we are treading on the right path and we are on the right path as well.
Great. Thank you. And sort of similar to that, Gwen, obviously we've seen Zambians women's football has improved tremendously in recent years as well, culminating in their first ever qualification for the World Cup. What for you has kind of, you know, this is not something that's happened overnight. It's been coming, you know, maybe for the last decade or so. What for you has been that change? What sparked this improvement in the Zambian game?
Generally, I just feel like it's the support that women's football is receiving of late. I'll give an example. Before, things used to be really, really bad, you know, in terms of just how much these girls were getting and just the support generally, even from the football fans. At least now we're seeing people following women's football. Even the league itself has even become competitive. Before we'd see a lot of teams maybe not traveling for games and then we would have a lot of walkovers. But these days, even Green Buffaloes now, the team that is representing Zambia for the Women's Champions League, COSAFA Women's Champions League, didn't have it easy to reach this far because it was a lot of competition, because we even have a team called Indeni Roses. We have Red Arrows. There's just a lot of teams that are competing, you know, and just to see a lot of clubs forming female teams, it's just great, because we never used to see this before. And at some point, we never even used to have the Women's League. But now we have it, and with how the team performed at the WAFCON and qualifying to the World Cup, I am very confident that we'll even have companies and just the corporate world in general just come on board and support women's football. So I feel like it's just the support, really, because before, people would obviously overlook women's football because they feel, okay, it's boring and whatnot. But now, back in Zambia, I'm seeing a lot of people actually saying, why don't we even send our women's team to represent us on behalf of the men? You know, I remember just recently we got booted out of the CHAN qualifiers, and a lot of people were just making fun of them to say we should have sent the Copa Queens to represent us and not the men's team has done. And before, would always just support the men's team, but now we are seeing a lot of support even for the females team. So, and also I feel like the sport in general itself for the women, it's growing and it's really making things easy for people to support. And kudos to COSAFA for always being there to have these tournaments, because I'm a great believer that it's because of these tournaments that we're getting to have this competition. And yeah, I think we're headed somewhere, and especially looking at how far we've come. I think the development is massive.
Thanks, Gwen. A similar question for you, Pearl, around Botswana. Obviously, your first qualification for the WAFCON, made the quarterfinals a few years ago, knocked South Africa out of the Olympic qualifiers as well. So there's definitely been an improvement for the Mares over the last 3, 4, 5 years. Where specifically for you does that come from?
I think when it started, women's football started in Gaborone. That is Gaborone region. That is where most of the players were from. So nowadays, we have 16 regions, but only close to 11 were active. But before that, it was just two regions or so. So you just pick a national team from Gaborone, where supporters and everyone will be like, this is a Gaborone national team. It's not the national team. So nowadays, there's a lot of competitions, and you look at other regions where you'll be having your under 15, your under 17, and then the support nowadays, it is way much better, because even the president, when he committed himself to support women's football, so you can just see the difference. Even the minister have just committed himself to support the ladies. So that is where it is now. Because back then, people were just, it was just women's football. It was just fun, where everyone was just teasing it. And they would say, these are boys, wannabes and everything. Because you sit down with players, they'll tell you that the reason why we are wearing like this is because we are playing a men's game, but we need all the support and everything. So nowadays, you look at them, it is not yet enough. You look at sponsors, they already have two sponsors now that came on board just to support women's football for the national tournament. So which is something, and even the prize money, it was huge. Everyone was shocked at the prize award ceremony at the final, because at first we knew everyone, the winners would be getting 25,000. And then at the final, it was announced that the winner will be getting 250,000, which was a lot, because it was the first ever. And then you look at the players, they're just there to compete nowadays. They're not just playing for fun. Everyone want to play for the national team. Back then, almost all the leagues were playing in the dusty grounds. And then Gaborone region, because it was near the Ligidi Football Center, where the BFA offices are based. So they decided that, let's have the league being played just in Ligidi, because there are two grounds. So after that, you could see the improvement. You look at 2018 and 2019, where they played Banyana Banyana and knocked out Banyana Banyana, because now they were just starting to get used to playing in the turf. Because back then, they were just seeing the turf when they were outside in the competitions. So it is getting way much better every day. And then women's football is really recognized in Botswana. Because you have to compare. Back then, you just hear players say, number 7. And then this time around, you can hear them just telling you your name, the names of the players. And then the corporate is really coming on board, which is making even things easier. And then the government have also committed themselves to improve in terms of infrastructure, because without infrastructure, you can't go anywhere.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Thank you.
Okay, I just wanted to add a point to what my sisters have said. The one point that I wanted to add on, it's the supporters base, because now we are competing with men that have been there for years and they have their support groups. So they have their loyal supporters that come to their games, that sing for them. They even have songs for each and every player at most. So we come as new babies that also need attention, but we've been there. It's just that we did not have a supporters base. So personally, I feel it's very important that we also start to work on finding our own supporters in a way that we do not still in brackets, but we don't move supporters from the men's team, because not everybody would be interested in women's football, but eventually they will. But for now, we don't want people to flow across. We want them to continue to support the men's team. And then we also want our special support. I'm saying this because come a Sunday, there's a fixture at Lucas Moripe in Atteridgeville. Mamelodi Sundowns men's, they probably play against SuperSport. And then we also have a game against JVW. I'm just making a scenario. So where are the supporters going to go? They'll probably go to the men's side. But when we have our own supporters base, where we have women, and the thing is, with women, we come as a family. You know, if it's one child, then you know there's a mother, there's an aunt, there's a friend to the mom. So already it's five. So one child has a ratio of five when it comes to women. So we also need to put more attention when it comes to that. So that when we have to need support, then it's already there. And then if men feel that they need to come and support, or those that prefer men's football, they want to support us, they can. But then we should not depend on them, because should men's football play on a certain day, they will take priority. So we need to also foster in all categories that women must also start building their own supporters base. I mean, we have the men's structures, we have their tried and tested methods. We can see what worked, what didn't work, and their successful stories. So if we could just use that diagram, that system, so to speak, if we can use that prototype to use it to set up a structure so that we can also have ourselves organized, we will do a great job. I feel we will do a great job, because as women, we have so many things that we bring with us. There's home, there's work, there's community, there's kids, there's this and that. Imagine when it's a known fact that when we are maybe heading to a weekend, you have lined up matches that you know you need to attend. And that time also promotes family time as well. Then it will help us also to bring our youth home. You know, when the mummies are doing exciting things, you know, the cool things that kids want to see, then we also, you know, bring that element back into homes, that togetherness. And, you know, it evolves, you know, like it's a ripple. So one thing that we do, it goes a long way. Then it goes to within a home, then it goes to family members, friends, and all. So it's also a ripple effect. So we need to also pay attention to that.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point you make there, Angela. Can you just give us a sense of who comes and watches Mamelodi Sundowns ladies, say, in the Hollywood Bet Super League? You speak there about mums and families and whatnot, but is it quite a female audience, or is there a mixture of men and women? And what do tickets cost? What is entry?
With men's football, with PSL tickets, league games are 40 rands. And then if it's competition tickets, it varies from 60 to 80 rands. And of late, we have seen that the stadium attendance is not that great. So if it's 40 rand and still the attendance is not so great, then come to women's side. Our games are free, but yet we don't have support. So I think for women's teams, it's not time yet to have tickets sold, because our entrance is free, but still we're still trying to mitigate ways to have more attendance. So if we sell those tickets now, then we'll be shooting ourselves in the foot, because we haven't even established our own supporters base. So from we can take learnings from the guys, what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong, and those lessons, when we perfect them, I assure you, you will see more attendance at the stadium. And we also have, you know, there's so many elements that we haven't even delved in. I use an example of, academy players, maybe the under 15. So if there's a young girl, she's under 15, and she has a match in Johannesburg. Okay, with her, her mom will take her there. Probably the mom will come with her dad, and the dad will bring his friend, and his friend, probably his family. So one child goes to, you know, they make up a whole lot of numbers just from one child. So imagine if we also, you know, try to do what we can to bring football at schools, in our communities, you know, where it has never been before. It has been there, but then not so much. But then when we bring the right things there and fulfilling all the right needs that the people have, then they will come through. Because in most cases, we don't even get time to go to movies. We don't even get time to go to parks or do anything fun. So, but then, you know, on a Saturday, you know, at 3, I have a game. So everything else that you do have to do before maybe 1 o'clock and after 5 o'clock. So at that time, it also promotes family time. And that's where sponsors can do a killing, because one, they'll be serving customers that are already there, already that are there at the stadium. But you just need to know, how do you serve them? What do these people need? What should they get so that they can be able to come through the next game? So such things are very important, because good things can be done, nice things can always be done. But then, are those things effective? To what extent do they go? Because even if maybe we just do, you know, a cover up, still the base of everything, if it's not solid, if it's not right, and people, they don't know, or they don't have a buy-in, then we've lost our case. And it's all going in circles, circles, circles. So, but I feel positive about this, you know. And I don't know where I read it, that, you know, when KFC was introduced, it was a time where women were now being employed and now working from 8 to 5. So when do you cook? So there was no time. So then they started to eat out, or maybe eat in, as a family, where mom didn't have to cook because of having Casey as a family. So such things. And it's so, you know, it's so exciting that, you know, most of products that are in our stores, they use us as guinea pigs. But when we have to serve ourselves, we don't know how to use our own assets, you know, but we can. There's still hope. There's still hope.
Yeah, I guess it's something that, as you say, needs a bit of work. But as long as we're kind of moving in the right direction and we know the direction that we want to go in, then there is kind of hope for the future, as you say. Gwen, I wanted to ask you, as you mentioned earlier, you work at NAPSA Stars, and congratulations. I know NAPSA were promoted again at the end of last season, so back in the MTN Super League in Zambia. But working in that very quite male-dominated environment, what has that been like? Have you had any challenges, or have you found it quite a sort of comfortable environment?
Well, it was a bit challenging at first, but I've been working with the team since 2017. So one thing I've noticed about football, yeah, it's you sort of create a family. So even if you face certain challenges, there's always a way that you end up knowing how to handle that. So, of course, I had a bit of challenges, especially when we visit, let's say, other football teams. You know, there's just a lot of football traditions, and where they feel like women should not be in football. It's just it's just supposed to be about men. I faced a lot of those challenges where I'm not allowed to go in our own dressing room because now they believe, why should a female be in the dressing room and stuff like that. But eventually, I think they got sort of used to it because, you know, I was like the only female among this group of guys. But I feel like eventually they got used, and I've seen a lot of teams now engaging female media officers, because when I joined, I was like the second one. The first one used to work for Zesco United. Her name is Katebe Chengo. And then I joined NAPSA Stars. So from that time, I saw a lot of other teams following the trend. And I feel like I think we should have about five female media officers that I am attached to teams. So it's a bit challenging, yes. But, you know, it's football is like a new normal for everyone. And I'm guessing this is why now we are even seeing women's football developing. I feel like everybody is now getting to understand how the sport works. And yeah, so it's a bit challenging, but we work as a family, and I'm used now. I've been with them since 2017. So yeah, feels like home now.
Well, that is good to hear, definitely. And Pearl, you know, for you, also, again, a similar question, I guess, in a way, is there, you know, in the women's teams, for example, in Botswana, is it still quite male dominated in terms of coaching and that kind of thing? Or are there more women who are involved in women's football, so to speak?
In terms of coaching, I would say it is a male dominated area, because I'm looking at, we have only two teams are coached by women. Unfortunately, our women coaches are really not yet qualified. They're still we have two are still at C license. So that is the problem that we are facing here in Botswana. But at least the association for now is trying to have lots and lots of coaching courses specifically for women. So it is still hard. So we always have these men are dominating when it comes to women's football. And then I'm looking at now to add, it is really growing because with the club licensing now, Premier League teams for men is required to have women's teams. So they're doing everything that they can, because they've been thinking of professionalizing women's football, and then women's players getting contracts. And then when I look at which Angela touched on, when it comes to supporters, especially when the teams that have a women's team and men's team, I'm looking at the likes of Township Rollers and Haborni United. Some, because the teams sometimes they can't do well or they do well. If their games are, let me just say, on a Saturday in the afternoon for the girls, they will go to the stadium or watch the girls, and then from here they just cross towards the men. So some have just decided that no, we are focusing on women's football now. And then you'll see a family will just go support the women players, and then your friends will just go support, and then your classmates or colleagues will just go, and then other teams that ain't playing on that particular day, they just fill up the stadium. You look at the amount that it is being used, it is just only 5 pula. I'll just say it's about maybe 7 rand when in rent. So that is what is currently happening in Botswana.
Yeah, no, thank you. And Angela, Gwen, Pearl, thanks so much for your time. I wish we could chat more, but unfortunately we are out of time. But thank you to all three of you and all that you do for the beautiful game and its different facets. But that's it for another episode of the CASAFA Show. We'll be back next week to wrap up the Hollywood Bets CASAFA Women's Champions League. And don't forget, you can listen to more of our podcasts on Soccer Luma Radio, CASAFA.tv, Spotify, and iTunes. And you can also get the latest news via our website at www.casafa.com and on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok.